capturing that information that is correct.
I'm going to come to Anya now, and then I'm going to give you a bit more information on the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill and why platforms and others will legally have no choice but to provide the information you want, probably from the big this time next year. But Anya.
Yeah, I guess there's some really interesting stuff happening on this at the moment with a couple of companies. I had a conversation years ago with Iris, as in Expan Iris, and they said that every of all the countries that they traded in, the UK was the only one that didn't have transactional fees. So we've asked a few times, like, am I chasing a unicorn with this? Finio are doing a lot of development at the moment. So they're currently piloting with Transact. I know they're going to 7IM next. And rather than the platforms all figuring this out, actually, there's companies like Finio that are trying to figure it out. There will, I think, always be a discrepancy between the platform and the CRM. It's not wrong. It's just different. And it's points in time. And the bit that I guess I've been chasing is, yes, we can get valuation feeds. I don't want transaction feeds. That's a lot of data for me to have to figure out, particularly given that a lot of it can get changed at a future time as corrections are done. What I'd love to have is policy level in and out, so my contributions and withdrawals. And the reason that I think a lot of firms maybe want transactions is to be able to get gains or losses and percentage returns. So this gives me the gains. Give me the gains, losses, or percentage returns rather than the thousands and thousands of rows of data. On the percentage return, again, not wrong, just different. So we can do a very simple return that is the old back of a bag packet calculation, or you can do an IRR and explain that to a client. I think it's understanding where the biggest value add is. And for me, and I'm not a practicing advisor anymore, but being able to talk to clients about your holdings are here compared to here, but you're still able to do all of the things that you want to do, and focusing more on the thing that money does rather than whether it went up and down, I think is helpful.
Yeah, just coming, I mean, you mentioned what Finio are doing, and they are indeed doing some excellent work in basically taking the broad data feeds and streamlining them down to the data that advisors really need. I agree entirely. You don't want a full trend. You do not want everything the platform's got, because you'll get drowned in data. But both Finio and Origo, there's some extremely good work that's been done by Criterion, which is the body that took over the standard side of Origo when Origo became a commercial venture. Both of those are doing really good work off the back of the Criterion standard, so other people could pick it up too. The game changer is, you know, unless we have the government call an election before the summer, this piece of legislation called the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill, which is currently just checking on Hansard as we speak, in the committee stage at the House of Lords, which is where it's been for a little while now. Assuming that finds its way onto the statute book, and my understanding is the relevant bit is Section 3 of the DPDI bill, and what that will effectively do will mean that any organiser, it's following the adoption of the same protocols, if you like, that are used in open banking, which is basically, if you have the right regulatory permissions and a consumer gives you consent to obtain information, you cannot refuse to provide that information. So basically, there is legislation which it's expected will get royal assent by the summer. A lot of people talking about it probably coming into effect from April next year. There will be a legal obligation on any insurer, any in platform, to provide any information they hold digitally that you ask for, by law, they've got to give you. So, I mean, this will be a game changer. Candidly, most platforms and insurers don't seem to have it on their register, their risk register, to the level that they would. If there is an assumption, and this is one of the main things that slowed down the pension dashboard project, because they needed primary legislation to force insurers to disclose the information. And the insurers pretty much said, unless you push primary information to force us to do it, we're not going to do it. That wasn't all pension providers, but there were definitely some. The significant thing about the DPDI bill is that they only need to, the Secretary of State only needs to bring secondary legislation. By the way, this doesn't just affect the financial services industry. It covers every industry. It's part of the government's smart data strategy. And it basically means the Secretary of State will have the mechanism through which to legally compel organisations. So, for example, they could force the supermarkets to give us or our nominated third party all the information on our shopping. They could force the utility companies to do. This is not just about financial services, but financial services will be a huge enabler. So I'm putting a call out, as I've been doing quite a bit, to insurers and platforms to say, you're not going to be, you need to get focused on this because it's coming in law, and being secondary legislation, they can bring it into effect in about 3 months if they want to, and probably take a lot longer than that for most organisations to get their systems prepared. The one thing to be a little bit worried about is what will the requirements be of smaller businesses? And some of the larger advice firms need to be thinking about, hang on a minute, could this impact us? Could we have a situation where, say, Pension B might come out and say, we have consent from a consumer to have information that you are holding digitally. You have a legal obligation to deliver it. So for the most part, it's a really positive thing and it will move us forward. But if you're in a larger advice firm, and so far, my understanding, it's left to the Secretary of State to define what a small business is. There's suggestions there'll be small business exemptions, but they're not yet stated. Right, I'm mindful that we've just got about 5 minutes left. Any last thoughts? Mike, would you like to share, and then I'll come to Anya?
Yes, again, for me, I think in terms of consumer duty and ensuring we're giving value to our clients, I think it's, you know, we talked about some vulnerability sections as well, I think, in our pre-stuff. You know, we've actually built in rules which ensure that the vulnerability is being considered into our life cycles, and ensuring that, you know, that information is actually captured correctly and is up to date. We have regular reporting on that as well. So from our perspective, you know, ensuring the fees are correct, ensuring the service the clients are getting are correct. We've done a massive review across our entire advice business to ensure that the service statuses are correct and the service the clients are getting is what they're actually paying for, you know, as part and parcel of that consumer duty piece. But, you know, for me, technology is going to play a huge part. It always has played a huge part in this, but the adoption of the technology and ensuring the advisors are using it the way it should be used and the business get the MI out of it they need as well is massively key, I think.
Very true. Anya, I'm going to give you potentially the last word.
I think some of this is now a hygiene factor. The bar is higher than it used to be. So the things that, you know, firms have been doing for a very long time, tech needs to be part of that as well. And actually going back to the point of, you know, where do we start? It only works if the people are on board and it's being done with them. They're on the journey rather than done to them. So it's great that there's so many people here on this session, but making sure that everybody in your teams hears about it, gets familiar with it, because it's not going away. It's not slowing down. With all of the things that we're doing in terms of data and process will basically just keep snowballing, and particularly as things like robotic process automation and AI start to come, the things that sound quite scary, they're a lot easier to do if actually your people hear technology, get excited, your processes are locked down and your data is continually checked.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think probably the most important message I would suggest taking away from this is, make sure if you're planning a project like this, make sure you've got your constituency, your existing employees on board and they understand clearly the benefits. Human beings, by their nature, are resistant to change. And if we try and impose things on them that they don't understand or are cynical about or feel uncomfortable with, your project will not succeed. The actual change management, the winning the hearts and minds of your advisors, and their lives will be better. I mean, an often claimed quote, which originally came from a lady called Tricia Rothschild, who used to be the head of retirement at Morningstar, and it's very true. You know, advisors that use technology will not replace advisors, but advisors using technology will probably replace advisors who don't use technology. And I'll give you another reason for doing it. If advisors who don't use technology have to work so much harder. You know, we, as someone who's been following the progress of technology in this industry now for just coming up to 30 years, the tech really is there to do a lot of the things that should have been done decades ago. And people have given examples of things, some things that don't quite work right. But let's not get a phrase that Keith Richards from the CDA uses frequently is don't let the desire for the perfect get in the way of the good. Keith is 100% right with that. You know, we are now at the stage where technology can help you with so much of what you're doing in your businesses. Right, I'm just going to come so we can end on time. A few last things to share with you. Firstly, you will shortly receive your feedback forms. They should go out to you within the next 15 minutes. If you could take the time over lunch just to complete those for us, that would be really, really appreciated. It helps us design the next sessions around you and the issues that you will really find most beneficial. Our next Consumer Duty Alliance Technology Forum is going to be on the role of cash flow planning, supporting consumer duty obligations. The FCA on the 24th of March came out with some consultation, or they came out with guidance rather, on the role of cash flow in retirement planning. We're also going to look at it in the context of holistic financial planning. And also, we really should remember, and perhaps this is something that not everybody recognise, the origins of consumer duty are actually in protection. There was originally a private members bill that was going to amend the Financial Services and Markets Act that would have given consumers a direct right of action against anybody that, if you'd sold somebody a mortgage and you didn't sell them protection at the same time, they're going to have the right to sue you. So consumer duty is not all about wealth, it's also about protection. And there is now an explicit requirement for advisors, if wealth advisors don't want to address protection themselves, and I know a lot don't, if you see a need, you've got to arrange for someone to fulfill it. So if either you're going to fulfill it, if you're not going to fulfill it, is where can you get somebody else to do that? So as I say, 20th of June, when you get the feedback form from this, you'll have the opportunity to pre-register for that session. You'll also have the link to complete the tech survey, please. If you need to get in contact with me, that's my details. I really want to thank Mike and Anya for some great input during the session in the last hour. I really hope that people have found it useful. Also, thanks to Jane Hodges, James Gillespie and others who contributed. And I hope to see you all again on the 20th June, although I also hope that some of you will engage with our Advisor Technology Forum on the 22nd of May. That's it from me. Have a great afternoon, everybody.